25. If you would like to give to the youth fund offering, you can do that in the plate at the back on your way out here in just a little while. So not going to pass the plate, but it is there available if you'd like to give to the youth fund. Exodus chapter 8. Tonight we're going to be learning about breaking out of Satan's compromise. Compromise is one of Satan's favorite tactics. If he can't get you to outright deny God, deny the truth, he'll try to get you to mix in a little bit of his lies with the truth. He's going to try to get you to compromise, to keep one foot in the world and one foot in God's will, and try to make you to be a lukewarm Christian, which is, quite frankly, sickens the Lord. He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to be what he has called us to be and wholly committed to him. Exodus 8, verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet for us, so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time we have together and to sing your praises, Lord. And I pray that by your grace, you would lead us, and by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to follow you wherever you would have us to go. Help us to follow you moment by moment, action by action, thought by thought, deed by deed. Lord, I pray that we would seek and obey your will. Lord, please bless our time in your word. Please help us, forgive us. And we just pray that you will open our ears to hear your truth, open our hearts and minds to receive your truth. And I pray it would bring forth much fruit to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout Scripture, we see God continually calling his people to himself. God is not interested in having a bunch of religious people. God wants to have a relationship with his people. He wants us to walk with him in fellowship day by day. And when we're not following him, we're not walking with him, God has something we might refer to as a holy jealousy. God has every right to be jealous. He's holy, he's pure, he's loving, and his jealousy is part of that character in his nature. In Exodus 20 and verse 5, the scripture says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." In other words, jealousy among human beings is not right because it's built on our pride, but jealousy from God is right jealousy because he is worthy of all our adoration. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all that we are because he is our all in all. So when we look into the scripture today, God calls the children of Israel out of Egypt to be with him. And God's calling us out to walk with him, to talk with him, to acknowledge him in every decision that we make, that we would acknowledge him in all our ways, in every decision, every thought we're thinking of God. Now, God's calling the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's calling us to himself. And as we are being called and drawn away from the world and away from ourselves to follow Jesus, Satan is fighting against us. As a matter of fact, the more you try to live for Jesus, the harder Satan's going to fight against that. And so you hear people say that a lot. The harder I try, the more I try to live for God, it seems like the worse things get. Well, there's going to be trials, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be difficulties that are going to come. If we're not going anywhere, we're not going to meet with any resistance. But as we go against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil, we're going to be met with much resistance. And the closer you get, the more you strive to be close to him, the harder he's going to work. So Satan is challenging Moses, he's challenging the children of Israel to compromise. He tried to keep them partly in Egypt, and Satan is still trying to cut little deals with us. He wants to keep you out of your Bible study. He wants to keep you out of church. He wants to keep you from fully surrendering to God. I want you to check out Galatians 5 and verse 17. Have you ever heard these things that we battle against as Christians? We battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Have you heard that before? All right. This means yes. This means no. Have you ever heard that before, that we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil? All right, a couple of you have. Everybody okay tonight? Like, listen, we got a lot of ground to cover on Wednesdays. We got to hit the ground running. We don't have time for you to wake up halfway through. You got to be awake right now. So we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh, I think, is our greatest enemy, because I'm pretty sure that I am my own worst enemy. And then we've got the world, we've got culture, everything around us. We listen, friends, we live in Egypt today. We live in a world that's ruled by Satan. We live in a culture that's driven by the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so it's against us. It's against God's will for our lives. And then we've got the flesh to deal with. We've got the world to deal with. We've got the devil himself to deal with, that accuser of the brethren, that great usurper. And Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Satan is working, and the world is working, but your own flesh is working against you, and the spirit inside of you is willing to do what God wants, but your flesh is warring against your spirit, and so there's a battle that's going on, raging every decision that we make. And so it's important to understand that. And it's not always going to be a clear black and white. It's not going to be a clear decision. There's going to be times when there's some compromise mixed in that's going to trick us if we're not walking circumspectly, if we're not being very careful. We're constantly confronted with a constant pull away from fellowship with God. Now, by the time we get to verse 25, God's already brought the first four plagues on the land of Egypt. He's already turned the Nile and all the fresh water in the land to blood. And so all the fish died. They couldn't drink of the river. They had to dig new wells just to find drinking water. Then he had already sent the frogs. Now the frogs, the Bible said, would come up everywhere, would be in your chamber, would be all over your bed. Can you even imagine? I don't know what it's like at your house, but we got a little creek that runs through our property, and a lot of times it'll dry up this time of year, but we've had a little bit of rain, and so we've got a ton of baby toads. Isn't that right? Anybody else have those? I've never seen anything like it. Every time I walk outside, it's like the ground moves. It's like, I mean, I've never seen so many before. It's crazy. It's crazy. And every time I walk outside and I see all of them move like that, I think this is nothing compared to what it was in Egypt. But it makes me think about Egypt every time. Can you imagine coming into your house and there being frogs all over your floor, on your counter? You open the cabinet doors and frogs jump out. Can you imagine when you crawl into bed at night and you got to get the frogs out of bed? That's what it was like. And Pharaoh says, fine, ask God to get rid of the frogs and I'll let you go. And so Moses prays and God kills all the frogs. And listen, you could go back and study this out, but for some bizarre reason, when Moses says, when do you want me to ask God to get rid of him? He says, tomorrow. You ever wondered about that? Why in the world did Pharaoh want one more night with the frogs? That's crazy, but that's exactly the way the world is. That's exactly the way we are. Just give me one more night with it. Just one more night. And so the next day he prays and they go away exactly at that time. They got to pile up all the dead frogs, and the Bible tells the truth, and it says the land stank. I don't know what a pile of dead frogs smells like, but I reckon it ain't good. Right? I mean, I just kind of gross thinking about it. So the frogs have already come and gone. He made the dust of the land turn to lice. Now, all this time, the magicians have been able to use their tricks and their sorceries to mimic whatever God had done, but this time, ain't happening this time. And they tell Pharaoh, this is the hand of God. Like, they tell Pharaoh, like, okay, this is beyond what we can do. You need to stop messing with these guys. This is the hand of God. And so the dust became lice, and then he sent a grievous swarm of flies throughout all the land. My dad's building a house right now. We did countertops in it. It's next to a bunch of chicken houses for Avigen. They lay 7,000 eggs a day. That's a lot of chickens. And you know what else there is a lot of right there? Flies. And the first time I went to that house, I made the mistake of leaving the windows of the truck rolled down. When I got back into the truck, I bet there were at least 500 flies in there. Josiah, can I get a witness? He was there. He saw it. There's a great swarm of flies, just like in Egypt. Maybe not that bad. But these plagues had come to Egypt. They've already come. And every time a plague comes, Pharaoh says, I'll let you go. But he's always trying to get them to give a little promise. And by the time we get here, he keeps giving these promises. But every time God gives him some relief, he changes his mind. He hardens his heart. And listen, I just want to warn you tonight that when we continue to harden our heart against God, God's going to bring some things into our life to bring us to a place of repentance. He's going to bring conviction. He's going to bring some chastisement. And when we pray and we repent, he will give us some relief. But be careful that you don't harden your heart, that you would commit the same sin over and over and over again. Let's don't be like Pharaoh. And so many times in our lives, we're just like Pharaoh. So now the plague of flies, and he says, go sacrifice to God in the land. He says, you could go, but I want you to stay here. So now he's starting to make some compromises. I'll let you go do your sacrifices, but you need to stay in Egypt. And then maybe you can talk about this a little bit in your breakout group, but there's some wisdom here, I think. Moses does some negotiating with him and trying to persuade him and trying to reason with him. And he finally says, we'll let you go. But I appreciate the fact, at least, that in verses 26 and 27, Moses didn't back down. He said, no, we're not going to do that. And verse 27, he says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. God's going to have something for us, and we're going to go where he wants us to go. In other words, we're not going to stay in Egypt, and that's what we need today. We need a resolve that says we're going to go where God wants us to go. We're not going to stay in the land of Egypt. We're not going to stay here. 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, the Apostle Paul's dealing with the Church of Corinth. They're dealing with pagan idol worship and all kinds of things, filthy temple worship that was going on in those days in the pagan temples. But the principle is no different. God wants us to come out from the world. He wants us to come out from ungodly influences. There ought to be a distinct difference between the follower of Jesus and the unbeliever. There ought to be a difference. It ought not be that when we study statistics in America today, that there's no discernible difference in the people who are supposed to be followers of Jesus and those who don't believe in Jesus. We ought to be different in the way that we live our lives. So he says, we're going to go and we're going to do what God's called us to do. Tonight, I pray that as we dig a little deeper and we go a little further in this study, that we'll understand that there's going to be a temptation to go along. There's going to be a temptation to compromise. There's going to be a temptation to negotiate. And I want to tell you, when you start negotiating with your flesh, you've already lost. When you start negotiating with Satan, you've already lost. When you start negotiating, you are already in a bad spot. If you decide you want to get up in the mornings and work out, when the alarm goes off and you negotiate with yourself, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You can't let yourself have that negotiation because it's not going to happen. And so how much more vital is it for us not to compromise when it comes to serving Jesus? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a little time in your word together. And I pray that you'll bless as we break up into our small groups, that we can dig deeper, that we can apply these things to our hearts and lives, that we can share our hearts and experiences, and that your spirit will work in our lives tonight. Lord, we are all faced with many temptations, and Lord, we all fall short day by day, but God, you are so loving and so gracious and so long-suffering, and Lord, I pray that we could learn to embrace your grace yet again today, that we would fall into Jesus and that we would move forward by your power and by your spirit and through the truth of your word, that you'd help us to walk with you more faithfully. Please be with anyone who's heard this message that is unsaved, that even now they would trust in Christ alone as their Savior. And Lord, please help us in everything we do by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.